Oh, hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I am on board the Humboldt Explorer in the Galapagos Islands. I kid you not. I'm hanging out with my buddy from Dive Training Magazine, Jerry Beatty. How you doing, Jerry?
I'm doing good, Greg. How's it all going for you?
Yeah, hey, it's been pretty good. Trip of a lifetime. We've seen it all, haven't we?
I'm telling you. Coming into Quito and seeing the Andes Mountains and climbing volcanoes and then coming out to the Galapagos. We're 600 miles out to sea right now. I mean, isn't that just amazing?
We are out in the middle of nowhere, away from civilization, and the animals know that because this is where they congregate, and we've pretty much seen everything it comes when it comes to diving. I mean, from whale sharks to killer whales. Yes, we've seen killer whales this week, and of course, sea lions, seals, the Galapagos penguins, the iguanas. I mean, pretty much every animal that I had on my list to see here in the Galapagos has basically been marked off. What about for you?
Yeah, well, I guess the underwater telegraph was on because all the animals came out to see Greg and Scuba Radio. I mean, they were all here.
No, I don't think that's true. They came out here to see the critters. Now, we've had some celebrities on board, and I mean that respectfully in President Company here with Jerry Beatty from Dive Training Magazine. But we have Shaggy and Scooby-Doo. Yes.
Absolutely. Shaggy and Scooby-Doo. I mean, what a way to spend a week.
Yeah, and we have my co-host, Fumi from Japan. Fumi, say hi.
Hi.
She's here. She's going to be my co-host later on, but she's from Japan. People from all over. We have a group from Splash, Dive Shop. Hey, guys. They're out there. But Scooby and Shaggy. Now, these guys, you know, we picked them up last minute pretty much. First of all, Shaggy, his real name is Christopher, and he's from Holland, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and he doesn't sound like Shaggy, zoinks, or anything like that, but he kind of does have that whole aura, and it kind of, how did that happen exactly there, Chris?
You tell me, Greg.
Yeah, I don't know. He, with the exception of he kind of has that look of Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. He speaks four languages. He eats like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. I mean, and then your partner in crime here, Wayne. Wayne, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Doing well.
Now, how did you become Shaggy Scooby exactly? What exactly happened there?
Well, I don't know. I guess it was sort of fate or a little serendipitous, perhaps. But
I know from what I remember, Shaggy called you Scooby-Doo because you got a little nervous when you saw some sharks. Is that true?
Exactly. True story.
And he jumped in your arms and you were carrying him around like Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, literally, actually. Yeah, that happened exactly that time.
All right. They are sharing a cabin, by the way, and I think they've become pretty close here on the trip. But how close?
So close that I punched him on the nose twice.
Really? Okay. No, I'm talking about Scooby-Doo or Shaggy here.
Ah, not the Scooby.
Oh, the sharks, you were punching them. Yeah, you were talking about the sharks got so close that you had to punch them on the nose. Not necessarily Scooby-Doo.
No.
All right. Well, see, you're going to have to look at the pictures at scubaradio.com to get what we got going on here. But Shaggy, Scooby-Doo, Chris, and Wayne, they are a dive group, and they were quite the characters. Shaggy, by the way, got in the water with the killer whales beyond most people's better judgment. Were you pushed out of the boat, or did you actually jump?
I actually jumped. I saw, yeah, it's a one-time and lifetime chance, so what the hell?
What the hell? You only live once, and you figure, you know, they're probably going to eat something else before they get to you.
Exactly. They were way better food out there and more meat.
More meat. Yeah, he's kind of skinny. Even though he eats so much, he's like, he has that whole shaggy thing going on, that as much as he eats, he's probably one of the lightest people here on the boat. You think there, Jerry?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were a little worried. We've had some high winds, and we were afraid he might just kite out of here.
Yeah, we have a few stories to talk about with Shaggy and Scooby-Doo. They've provided quite the fodder for the entire group, I think. It's been kind of like a soap opera. Or a cartoon. I don't know. But definitely some good entertainment. We'll get into that here in just a bit. Fumi, come on over here. Fumi is from Japan. And, you know, she has some language issues with the rest of the group. She has a book with her, Dive Phrases in English, that I noticed that she was picking up. How's your English? How is your English? Yeah, just how is your English? Yes, it's good. Yes, it's good. And you listen to Scuba Radio all the time in Japan, right?
All right.
Yeah, of course, of course. And I'm probably the most handsome American you've ever met in your life, right?
Yes, great.
So thank you. See?
I'm so funny.
That's what I love about these folks from other countries. You can talk to them. You can connect immediately with these folks. But let's go back to the beginning, because we're towards the end of our trip here. And, you know, we've obviously met some great people and made some good friends. My buddy Dave, who I'm sharing a cabin with, he's around here somewhere. We're going to check in with him in just a bit. He can give you a first-hand report of my diving skills and how we teamed up here in the Galapagos. But the first day of diving was truly special. What about you, for you, Jerry? These sea lions, we get off the boat, we do a little checkout dive, they're all over us.
Oh, it was great, Greg. I mean, and let's back up a little further than that. Let's go back to when we first landed in Quito. We chose to go to Quito instead of Guayaquil, because we were in Ecuador, and we got to experience Ecuador. And Greg, I have to admit, I was very impressed. We went to the volcano Cotopaxi, I believe it was, and went up to about 14,000 feet, and there was another 1,500 feet left to climb. And with my own eyes, I watched Greg climb that mountain.
I climbed the mountain because it was there, and that was pretty much the only reason. Against better judgment, and definitely pushed the limits just a bit. We were at 4,800 meters, or plus, I believe, which was a pretty damn high. And you could hardly breathe. And me and Dave made it up there, my roomie here on the Galapagos boat. And we had a great time, for sure. But I figured if we could make it up a mountain, we could probably dive together pretty well. And where is he? He just disappeared, didn't he? I was looking for Dave. He as soon as I started the radio show, he left. He don't want to be associated with me after spending a week on board the Humboldt Explorer. And by the way, you can go to exploreventures.com and book this trip. And trust me, it has lived up to the hype for sure, indeed. But yeah, 2 days land based. We do a little market tour the first day, and then we scale this volcano on the second day before we hop on board the boat. So it was quite an experience as we got warmed up for the trip, right?
Well, it's the first time I've not only seen you speechless, but I saw you breathless.
Yes.
Literally.
Well, there's no air up there. You can't breathe. And I forgot my scuba tank. I wouldn't have made it up that mountain anyway, but with a tank for sure. But it was intense. It was definitely a workout, but it was worth the effort. And you get up there, you have some amazing views. And you'll see the pictures at scubaradio.com soon of me on top of the mountain taking pictures from the top. And the views were absolutely spectacular. It's some of the best scenery I think you could ever experience as a diver on any place on the planet, for that matter, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Andes Mountains were just something I've never experienced before. Wow.
That's yes.
That's all you can say is wow.
Yeah, you know, and I think for most the people, with the exception of your roomie, Mindy, right?
Right.
She had been to the Galapagos before. Everybody else, this was a first-time experience, and I think their expectations were pretty high. Bill, come on over here, buddy. Now, Bill was the guy we met the first night. He came in a day early before the group that he was traveling with, Splash, and we hung out at the bar there in Quito and kind of bonded over a tequila shot or two, didn't we?
Yeah, I don't remember much because these guys had me on the floor by, I don't know what time it was, because I lost my watch when we went walking around looking for bars. And
yeah, well, that's just what we do, Will. Yeah. Welcome to the club. Now, so what was your expectations coming to the Galapagos and the Humboldt Explorer? I mean, was it what I just said? I mean, the expectations pretty high, and did they exceed them or what?
Well, I really didn't know what to expect because it's my first time down here. But honestly, I am just blown away. Blown away. We had everything. And it was just amazing. The whole trip, the boat's great. All the crew was fantastic. The dive masters were really great. We had some fun with some of our other, you know,
Scooby and Shaggy.
That Shaggy in particular, Shaggy. You know, he always kept us talking. That's for sure. And you know, of course, we had to pay the boat drivers to go back and pick him up a couple of times, but hopefully he'll make good on that. You know,
so. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll have to pay him off here pretty soon. More crazy stories about Shaggy and Scooby and more from the Humboldt Explorer next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Dive into one of the greatest adventures of your life. Become a real treasure hunter. Spend a week diving one of the richest Spanish galleons ever to be lost at sea with the world's greatest treasure hunters. And take home up to $2,500 worth of treasure. For the first time ever, the public is invited to dive the most famous shipwreck in history, Mel Fisher's Atocha. You'll go behind the scenes on a working salvage boat, recovering treasure and artifacts that are almost 400 years old. You'll learn firsthand all about treasure hunting and historic shipwreck conservation. You'll see the charts and Atocha's treasure manifest. Working alongside Mel Fisher's dive team, you'll have the chance to find your very own piece of history and take home authentic artifacts worth up to $2,500. Trips are limited to 6 weeks each summer, so book your trip today. Call 305-294-5441 or go to melfisher.com. Today's the day.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why for the second year in a row, we have made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We're doing 4 weeks on board ourselves this year, and you're welcome to join us on any of these special adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Hi, I'm Captain Slate from Captain Slate's Atlantis Dive Center in Key Largo, Florida, and you're listening to my good buddy and dive pal, Greg the Dive Master from the world's first radio show devoted to diving, Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
I love it.
Well, I know Captain Slate would love being on the Humboldt Explorer this week as well. We got to thank him last week for helping me out with the big show, along with Neil Watson. Those guys would be tickled pink to be on board the Humboldt Explorer this week in the Galapagos for sure. Now, the weather has been a little bit off and on, and the water temps are definitely cold for a warm water wuss like myself. Now, Scooby-Doo's, he's used to this stuff. Wayne, or better known as Scooby-Doo, is from San Diego, right? Or San Francisco. Yeah, so here, lean in just a tad there, buddy. So you're used to this this cold water, and you enjoyed the fact that us warm water wusses were suffering a little bit this week. Is that the case?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a bit entertaining, to say the least.
All right, so you were having fun at our expense because we were a little cold, but you seemed to be a little spooked by the sharks. Is that right? Is that right, Shaggy? What was going on with that exactly?
Well, that's a nice story to tell. We're surrounded by sharks and doing our safety stop, or I was doing a deco stop actually, and they were getting a bit aggressive and bumping into us, and Scooby-Doo here, like, I thought he has my back, but when I watched back, like, he was already going up, and
He jumped out of the water, just exactly. Like in the cartoon where his feet are spinning and he's not moving, but then it catches up, and he left you down there to fight off the sharks.
Exactly, on my own, so I had to kick them.
So what were you thinking there, Wang? Tell me the story here, because this happened like this first day of diving, didn't it?
Yeah, well, it was our first full day of diving in Darwin, and started to drift pretty far during our safety stop, and my reliable dive buddy was in deco, and so during the safety stop, he pointed out that there was a shark that came up behind me, and thought that was interesting, and then next thing I knew, there were two sharks. And quickly thereafter, there were three, and
then the circle is closing tighter and tighter, and you're starting to think, like, wait a minute, they seem to be having a little bit more interest than you're comfortable with. Is that the case?
Yes, it was. I might be accustomed to cold water, but I have to admit, I'm not accustomed to being circled by sharks.
Yeah, so you got out of the water, left Shaggy there to fend him off, and then when you get back on the boat and we hear all this story, we find out that Shaggy had actually let it flow in his wetsuit, and that's probably what brought him in.
What's so funny?
Nothing! I just have a loony sense of humor!
Exactly, yeah, that's, probably just one more thing, and not to mention that we were, right underneath all the boats and everything, where they apparently drop a lot of the waste, so I think these sharks were a little more aggressive than the typical silky.
All right. So, did you pee in your wetsuit because of the sharks, or you wanted to draw them in there, Shag?
Actually, that was because of the cold water.
Oh, okay. It was purely out of necessity.
Exactly.
The sharks were a bonus.
That was a bonus and a nice, enjoyable story to tell my grandchildren of it.
Exactly. Right. All right. And Wayne enjoyed that. Well, to extent.
Much to my chagrin. Yeah, it was a unforgettable experience.
Well, and that was Darwin. Let's back up, though, to all the dives. And we talked about the 2 days we spent there in Quito, little land-based stuff. Obviously, when you come to the Galapagos, you can spend a week on the Humboldt Explorer, but you can do a day or two before or after the trip and experience what Ecuador has. And all that information is at exploreventures.com, and you definitely want to take advantage of some of those land-based tours. However, when you get on the boat, one of the first things you do, you get on the boat and you do a checkout dive right there in the bay, which, what was the name of the town where we jumped into? What was that town?
San Cristobal,
yeah. And we get on the boat and they say, okay, you're going to do a little checkout dive because the water is very salty. It's more buoyant than in other places on the planet, so you have to take that into consideration with how you weight yourself, and plus the fact that you may be wearing a 7 mil wetsuit for the first time in, like, God knows how many years for a warm water wuss like myself. I have no idea how much weight I'm supposed to use. So next thing you know, you jump in the water and you do a little test, and they give you some guidelines to follow, and we jump in this little bay. If this wasn't that great, you don't expect much of a dive on this, because you're really just doing a little checkout thing for waiting and to make sure you're set for the rest of the week. But of course, we get in the water and there's sea lions all over the place. Now, did you see these sea lions when you jumped in, or what?
Well, Greg, you had to wear that lime green hat.
Well, Bill was nice enough to hook me up with this beanie thing that he had gotten from Beneath the Sea in Jersey, right? At the dive show last year. And instead of wearing a full hood, which I'm not used to wearing a hood, this beanie kind of, you just covers up your ears and the top of your head, and you kind of look like a Jewish guy, a Jewish diver. But God bless them. And I figured, why not? If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. I'll put it on, jump in the water, and give it a shot. And it was lime green, like fluorescent lime green. And I didn't think anything about it other than it made me look kind of goofier than I usually do. But the sea lions seem to enjoy it even more. Now, did you witness this yourself from afar?
It appears that lime green is the mating call.
It might be, yes.
He was certainly trying to find out what kind of romantic interest that, you know, you might have any.
To the sea lions in the Galapagos, I was in heat. And evidently, I was sitting there diving, and my buddy Dave there was looking on, and all of a sudden, this big sea lion comes up literally right into my face. I'm like, this is awesome. And of course, I didn't bring my camera down on this dive because I figured we were just doing a little checkout thing. And this sea lion gets right in my face. I'm laughing. I'm thinking this is the coolest thing ever. Jaime, the dive guide, is with us as well. He's looking over, and he finally, after a few minutes of this, he's like, yeah, come on, get out of the way. Or something. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm enjoying this encounter. Little did I know, when I got back on the boat, the sea lion was evidently mouthing the top of my head. And according to Jaime, he was showing aggressive behavior or mating behavior. I don't know what it was, but I'm glad I didn't know until I got back on the boat. You hear what I'm saying?
Well, it's good to know you can turn something on there, Greg. And that sea lion certainly had an affection for you.
Yes, evidently I'm very hot looking to the sea lions and the Galapagos when I'm wearing a fluorescent green beanie cap. But it was cool. I enjoyed the encounter, even though I later found out that he was expressing some kind of aggressive behavior towards me, this big old sea lion. But it was close, up close, personal. I never felt threatened or nothing like that. But it was truly, I was like, wow, if this is the beginning of our trip, we have quite an adventure ahead of us. And boy, did it live up to those expectations. We got more coming up from the Humboldt Explorer next. Stay close. We're just getting started here from the Galapagos. Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg, the Dive Master. I'm on board the Humboldt Explorer in the Galapagos. You can go to exploreventures.com and book this trip now. You will want to do it. Trust me. If you've been diving for any length of time, the Galapagos has been at the top of your list probably for some time now. And now that I can say that I've been here and done that, it lives up to all those expectations, all the hype, probably times 10. We've seen killer whales, whale sharks, Galapagos sharks, hammerheads, penguins, marine iguanas. I mean, the list goes on and on. I don't think there's just about every species of animal you can imagine here in the Galapagos, and you can see them all condensed in 1 week. It's almost sensory overload when it comes to scuba diving, for sure. Now, we're going to go over Wayne's, or better known as Scooby-Doo's logbook here, and kind of reflect on some of our diving experiences. Now, we already talked about the first checkout dive where I had an up-close and personal encounter with a sea lion that got really close. I was kind of frustrated that I didn't have my camera with me, but we've seen plenty of sea lions and seals and fur seals and all these type of critters throughout the week. But going back to the first day of diving, Wayne, where were we? What was the name of the island, the first island we went to?
It's called Mosquera.
Okay, which means mascara, like you know, that kind of thing?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah. Okay, so that's where mascara started, and the whole Mary Kay cosmetic chain started from this place. But evidently, let's see, we went back, and that was the dive we went down and did what?
It was more or less just like a checkout dive, just for so the guides could sort of...
First dive in currents. That's right. When we did the dive with the sea lion thing, we did our weight.
Yeah, yeah.
This dive was kind of like...
Everyone's air consumption, that kind of thing.
Yeah, the currents here in the Galapagos are pretty nutty. And Jerry, what would you think? Now, I don't want to scare people away, but definitely you don't want to book this trip as a beginner diver, right?
Oh, absolutely. But I tell you, the thing about Galapagos, it's one of the holy grails. in the world of diving, it's one of the holy grails. So take that next advanced course, take that next practice course, go on that next dive trip, and get ready to come here, because you got to be here.
Yeah, get the experience and then get to the Galapagos. Okay, more from our dive log next.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 135. Hermit crabs can really be quite social. However, fiddler crabs have yet to really show any musical talent. The chemists are working on it.
You sound insane. Do you realize that?
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. We have Nick Bird, the chief medical officer for Dives Alert Network, in the studio. What's the topic of the day, Nick?
Fitness and diving, Greg.
Uh-oh, you're going to tell me I need to lose weight, my cholesterol's too high, and I'm not eating enough fiber, aren't you?
Wow, that really wasn't my plan.
But you're a doctor.
Yeah, but I'm not a fiber psychic. I was just thinking more along the lines of reminding folks why it's a good idea to maintain a general level of fitness and a healthy lifestyle.
Is it going to come with a recommendation to eat more tofu?
I'm a burger man myself.
Sweet. Okay, why is overall fitness a good thing?
You mean aside from the thousand reasons it's just good for you, or because of the benefits it brings to your diving?
How in the world does it benefit my diving?
Good health and fitness can improve your dive on a number of levels. Diving is kind of a contradiction. It's a sport most of us enjoy because it's relaxing, low-key, and it can be enjoyed by just about anyone. Yet there's definitely an element of physical demand, and because of that, there is a direct correlation between fitness and diving. The more fit you are, the more your diving will improve, both in terms of your enjoyment level and your safety factor.
Give us some examples.
Okay. Fitness contributes directly to your ability to handle situations underwater. If the diving you're doing requires any kind of strenuous activity,
like swimming against a current?
Exactly. Your fitness level affects how quickly you'll fatigue when dealing with a given situation. That leads directly into another correlation, the effect of fitness on air consumption.
Let me guess, the more fit you are, the less air you use.
Not quite that simple, but basically, yes. Divers who are aerobically fit don't tire as quickly. They breathe more easily because...
Divers who are out of shape get out of breath, and out of breath means sucking air.
Well put. Having the ability to keep your breathing slow and even also improves your ability to solve problems, because you won't tire as easily, which is one less stress adding to the problem. Less stress helps keep your body relaxed and your mind clear, which, as we all know, is a big key to problem resolution.
This may almost be worth eating tofu.
I'd hold out for more.
There's more?
How about the fact that weight or resistance training increases muscle strength?
So I won't pull any more muscles toting tanks.
Yeah, how many tanks do you really tote?
Okay, the dive masters won't pull as many muscles. But I do have a serious question. Obesity is a problem you hear about every day, and in diving circles you hear about overweight folks being more susceptible to DCI. Any truth to that?
Well, there are a lot of theories out there on that one, and the discussion on it could probably fill an entire show, but I'll say this. Overall physical fitness definitely increases circulatory and respiratory efficiency, both of which are key to the release of nitrogen after a dive. The more efficient your systems, the more efficient you'll be in releasing nitrogen from your body.
So fitness can decrease your chances of developing DCI.
It's not conclusive, but it's likely.
So what do I do to be considered fit for diving?
Start by thinking about it in terms of living a healthy lifestyle, with diving perhaps serving as your incentive. You don't have to be able to run a marathon to be considered fit. Start with finding a program that's right for you. Try different options until you find one that works for you and that you enjoy. The important thing is simply to make sure you find something that includes both cardio and some sort of weight or resistance training, since these elements will help increase both your aerobic and general fitness.
Any tips on how to stick with it?
Don't try to overhaul every aspect of your life all at once.
Why not? Won't that get you fit faster?
No, because if you try to do too much at once, you're not very likely to make it for the long haul. The more success you enjoy with a single step, the more likely you are to take the next one. So take it slow and enlist a friend or your dive buddy to work out or make changes with you. Not only can you encourage one another as you go, you'll both be diving knowing you've got a buddy working towards being a healthier diver.
Would you like some tofu?
I haven't gotten to that step yet.
Just like diving is a lifestyle all its own, fitness, too, is a way of life. Make it your way of life. And not only will you feel better and increase your health, you'll also increase your diving enjoyment and improve your safety. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We are back here on the Humboldt Explorer in the Galapagos. Fumi from Japan is my dive buddy on board. And Fumi, the first time in the Galapagos, right?
Yeah.
And what was the one thing you were looking forward to? Was it like me, the boobies?
Yes, Greg.
Yes, don't we all? We definitely look forward to seeing the boobies here in the Galapagos. And I'll tell you about those in just a bit. But it's the only place on the planet where you're guaranteed to see boobies. And why it took me, you know, 40-some years to get here to see that is anybody's guess. But you can see these, too, when you book your trip with Explorer Ventures on the Humboldt Explorer. Now, we're going back over our logbook. Wayne has been keeping some pretty good notes here, better known as Scooby-Doo. Now, our first dive was kind of, I was talking about the currents. And this, after we did our checkout dive with the weights and I had my little encounter with the sea lion, we jumped onto this Mosquera Island, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Mosquera. Yeah, that's close enough for me. And so we jump in there, and the currents are ripping, and they have all these wacky currents in the Galapagos. It is extreme diving for sure, and they want to make sure everybody's comfortable with getting in the water and experiencing these currents. And literally, you got to sink to the bottom as soon as you can, and pretty much grab onto this lava rock, don't you, Jerry?
That's pretty much it. Yeah, you get down there on a negative descent and grab a piece of rock and hold on.
Yeah, hold on. And obviously, it's not coral, but it's rock stuff, and you have to wear heavy gloves and the whole thing and hold on, because if you don't hold on, the current will just sweep you away and you'll be gone. So they kind of orchestrate the dives where you hold on and group, and then they'll say, okay, let go, and everybody let goes at once, and you drift along the way. And we saw all kinds of, on this first dive, of these little nudibranchs. What color were those again?
Nudies.
Just nudies. I don't know, but there's just tons of them all around the lava rock and stuff. Did you know what the names of these things were at all, or what color? What color did you have in your logbook? Did you?
A lot of them were blue. I think I saw a couple, maybe white and yellow nudibranchs.
So they were all over the place. These little like half inch long snail looking things without the shell.
Yep.
Yeah, so we saw all these...
A lot of garden eels as well.
Yeah, garden eels. When we let go, we went off in the sand patch, and it's all these big, thick, about cigar size width of garden eels, and they were all over the sand flat. So we did that, and that was kind of our first introduction into current diving here in the Galapagos. And then what was the next island there, Wayne?
North Samar.
North Samar. Now, refresh my memory here. What did we see there?
It was a relatively uneventful dive for the first half, and then once we circled the north point of the island, we experienced our first strong current.
First strong current where it just took us and let us go. How many? I'm thinking it was like 3 or 4 knots easy. Don't you think there, Jerry?
It was enough to fly.
Exactly. Yeah, we were just seeing all kinds of stuff cruise by, and literally the currents here. And you got to be careful. I mean, obviously the dive guides here on the Humboldt Explorer know how to show you the ropes, but there's not just you know, currents laterally, but they got up and down currents you got to be aware of because it'll bring you down some, and sometimes it'll shoot you up. They're just swirling all over the place. What is up with that?
Hey, it was fun. Once you know how to expect them and look for them when they're coming, you're ready for them. They're really not too scary, and they're a lot of fun.
Oh, they're definitely lots of fun, for sure, when they just take you for a ride. Later on in the week, we did this thing called the washing machine, and I got to say, that was probably the most crazy, nutty, most insane dive I have ever done in my entire diving career. I loved it.
Yeah, it was great. But I do have to remind you, they made it optional. Before the dive, in the briefing, they were very clear. If you wanted to do it and you had enough air, it was your choice, but it was nutty. It was taking us up, down, spinning us around, doing 360s. What a great ride.
Yeah, it was a great ride indeed, and definitely got to put that one on the list for sure. But let's go back to the order. We did those two dives. Those were kind of like our warm-up dives before we headed over to Darwin Island. Right, Wayne?
Correct. That's correct.
So Darwin Island, that's kind of like the cream of the crop when you come to the Galapagos, Darwin and Wolf Islands. That's the stuff you read about. That's the stuff you see on the Discovery Channel. So much filming has been done there over the years, and so many wild adventures. It obviously has a lot of history behind it, and that's kind of like the top of the mountain when it comes to diving, for sure. So you go to Darwin Island, spend two full days of diving there. We'll tell you about it next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
If you ask a dive guide to show you a seahorse and they reply with, "What color?" Well, chances are you're diving in Dominica. No crowds, just superb diving in untouched reefs. The way it should be. Within minutes from shore, walls plunge over 500 meters and pinnacles rise up from the depths. Seahorses, frogfish, flying gannards, even whales can be seen year-round in Dominica. And the topside attractions will blow your mind. Go to DiscoverDominica.com for more info. That's DiscoverDominica.com.
You suck. You have to survive. When you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater, the next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
Want to enjoy your next local dive or dive vacation even before getting your feet wet? Well, then go to clickanddive.com. Literally thousands of photos, videos, and even 3D virtual tours of dive sites from around the world can be found at clickanddive.com. With just a few clicks, you can book your next dive with the right operator when and where you choose. Just go to clickanddive.com. Basic membership is free. So know before you go and just click and dive. That's click the letter N, dive.com.
Bula. That's the greeting you get from the smiling, generous Fijians who welcome you to Fiji. And while Fiji's friendly people, white sand beaches, rainforest, and waterfalls are a huge draw for any traveler, divers in the know consider Fiji the soft coral capital of the world. With direct regular flights from LAX on Air Pacific, it's never been easier to live your Fiji experience. Go to FijiMe.com to book dive packages from backpacker to five-star spa resorts. That's FijiMe.com.
Hi, my name is Ravi. I'm from zip-fiji.com.
Oh my god, I'm twisting around. I'm backwards. Help me! Oh my god!
You are listening to Scuba Radio.
I'm gonna die.
World's first radio show devoted to divers. On a surface interval, don't forget to come zipline with me.
Woo-hoo!
In the meantime, keep listening to Greg, the Dive Master. He's also a zipline master.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I live!
You survived the zip.
So, Evie, do you have a change of pants or anything I could...
Oh, no.
Great. Well, you know, in a month from now, we will be broadcasting from Fiji. Scuba Radio Thanksgiving in Fiji is coming your way. Make sure you tune in for that. Right now, we are in the Galapagos on the Humboldt Explorer with Jerry Beatty from Dive Training Magazine and some of my close personal friends from, Splash. Dive Center. We're going to talk to them here in just a bit. But we're reflecting on the week of diving here in the Galapagos. Wayne has out his logbook. He's a Scooby-Doo. He's a Shaggy Scooby-Doo. And if you didn't hear what we were talking about, just rewind the show and you can catch up with the rest of the class. However, he has been taking notes on his dive adventures like a good little diving doobie. And he's sharing his thoughts from his logbook. Now, Darwin Island, that's where we are in our coverage of our diving throughout the week. 2 days of diving, 8 full dives is what we had available to us at Darwin. And it was pretty spectacular, not just underwater, but even when we pulled up to the site of Darwin Island and the arch and the whole thing. That was pretty spectacular, don't you think?
Majestic, absolutely. You're out in the middle of nowhere, 600 miles at sea. You pull up and there's a rock. You've been cruising. It's a 20-hour crossing, I believe. No, maybe it was 18. It seemed like 20. And you pull up and you see this rock and it's the only thing out there and it's just magnificent.
It is, and we got to dive literally 8 different times in the same general vicinity. So you got kind of familiar with the geography of the area and got used to what, the dive profile was going to be, and just stuff was cruising by all the time, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it was really good to know the geography because you were waiting for the thing to happen and you knew where the next rock was. So you'd grab on, hold on, and let it happen.
Yeah, basically what we would do is cruise out in the Pongas. And by the way, we're going to talk to Peter here in just a bit, one of the dive guides here on the Humboldt Explorer. But they would take us on these Pongas, which are basically dinghies, inflatables, 2 inflatables. And we'd do a back roll off these dive boats at the base of the arch of Darwin's arch, the famous Darwin Arch. And we cruise down about 60 feet and hang there on this little shelf reef and kind of just sit there and hold on to the lava rock and wait for something to pass by. And you just never know what's going to cruise by, whether it's hammerhead sharks, Galapagos sharks, silkies. We were looking for the elusive whale shark. We never saw one there. However, one did show up, didn't it, Jerry?
It did. It came to our door, actually. Sat right underneath us on the boat and just entertained us for, 15 minutes?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's ask Shaggy, because you were the first one who saw the whale shark, right?
Exactly.
So you were sitting back on the dive deck after the first dive of the day, getting geared down.
Some sun, chilling.
Yeah, just chilling, and all of a sudden, what happened?
And then I perceived this huge shadow just coming right behind the boat, behind the panga, in the current with its huge mouth, and I was shouting, whale shark, and everybody come and see him.
And you jumped in the water with the whale shark.
Holding on the rope because there was very strong current. So with one arm I was holding the rope and with the other one taking some pictures, some videos. And I was just like maybe 2 feet away from its mouth and amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I was watching it from topside, and I'm looking down at this, and it was just like something you would see on the Discovery Channel or something else, and this big old whale shark. I have no idea how long it was, but I'm guessing at least, 20, 30 feet?
Yeah, that's a good guess, Greg, actually. Yeah.
Okay, we'll go with that. He literally cruised right up next to the Humboldt Explorer to the point where you could have walked off the dive deck on top of the whale if you wanted to. He was like replacing a panga.
Seemed like he was marking us. We have been looking for him all over, during the dives, and he never showed up, and then just shows up right to our boat, marking us. Here I am.
Yeah. So, you never know what's going to happen, but that's one of the big animals that you can experience here in the Galapagos, the elusive whale shark. And we obviously had quite an amazing encounter. What was weird is that the visibility was a little bit down this week for us. I bet we would have seen whale sharks all over the place if we would have had a little bit better viz. However, the whale shark said, no worries, I'll come up and see you, pretty much, is what happened. Don't you think, Jerry?
Well, it's pretty much what it took. Because I've been diving for I don't know how many years. I have never seen a whale shark. That was the first one I saw. And he came to the boat because he was saying, Jerry, I'm just sorry you can't see me underwater, but I'm here to let you know I really exist.
Yes, indeed. And the same thing here. I got to mark that off the list, and I hope that's not my last whale shark. But yeah, we definitely saw our whale shark and had a whale shark encounter.
But, Greg, can we really count it? I mean, we saw it, but we weren't in the water.
Yeah, well, we weren't, but I'm going to count it, and I'm just going to hopefully add more encounters to that encounter. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, but you know, that's the thing. You come to Darwin's Arch, you know, telling what you're going to see when you cruise down there at about 60 feet, hold on to the lava rock, and watch the amphitheater, which is that's kind of what they call it. It's like I think Peter described it as going to an IMAX film. This is a real life IMAX encounter. This is where they film that stuff, where you go to the movies and see those IMAX movies with all the fish life and stuff cruising by, and the walls of hammerhead sharks and God knows what else. But what did you see at Darwin that you remember? So much, right?
Yeah, there's just so much. I mean, what is there not to see? If it's in the sea, you see it here almost.
Yeah, I mean, just massive schools of fish and amazing marine life for sure. And we're going to get into more of these encounters from Wayne's logbook. Also, we're going to talk to the folks from Splash, and we're going to talk to some of the folks from the crew here at the Humboldt Explorer. Once again, exploreventures.com. Go there and book that trip today. But we got another hour to share with you from the Humboldt Explorer coming up next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Fumi, you're liking this stuff, right?
Yes, it's great. You're the best.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.